Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're in a conversation with Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps is a professor of Bible and theology at Conservative Theological University. And we're talking about Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving season. We opened our broadcast today with a statement about stealing our holidays. And there's a movement underway today that's wanting to rename Thanksgiving to a national day of mourning, a national day of mourning. Perhaps we could turn a little spin on that and say perhaps we need a national day of bellyaching, because so many Christians, even as among Christians, are bellyaching, griping, and complaining about our plight in life rather than praising the Lord that we have life and health and strength. Dr. Phelps, I've said many times, and I'm sure you've heard me, when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. It is God that gives us the breath. It is God that gives us every heartbeat. It is God that we need to praise and thank, and it needs to be on a continual basis, according to the Scripture, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Phelps, I want to take a minute, and before we get into the latter portion of our broadcast today, share an article. It's Lincoln's speech. It is October the 3rd of 1863. The Congress of the United States of America passed an act of Congress designated an annual day of Thanksgiving as proclaimed by President Abraham Lincoln. Here's the statement. It is the duty of all nations as well as of men to owe their dependence upon the overruling power of God to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisement in this world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation and whole as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. I'm reading the words of Abraham Lincoln in his Thanksgiving Proclamation, 1863, October the 3rd. He says, we've forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all these blessings were produced by some virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, and that one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday in November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in heaven, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, those were the words of Abraham Lincoln, and I couldn't have stated it any more succinctly and any more eloquently than he did, but we have been blessed as no other nation has been blessed, and yet it seems as though we're the least thankful of nations around the globe. Dr. Phelps, I made to recall a text in Luke, the 19th chapter. 10 men come to Jesus with leprosy. And the 10 men that come to Jesus with leprosy, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, leprosy is a good indication, a good illustration of sin in the scripture. Leprosy will eat away at the body until it consumes the flesh and destroys life. Sin does the very same thing. But 10 men in the 17th chapter of Luke come to Jesus. They see Jesus and they cry out, Master, to the Lord Jesus Christ. They call him Master, and they ask him to heal them. Dr. Phelps, in that text, 10 are healed. They ask to be healed. Jesus heals completely all 10 of them. Read the last several verses, about verses 15 and following, for our audience to hear, and then let's talk about it in a moment. Luke 17, about verse 15 and following.
And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save, which means except, the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Jesus says, I healed 10. There's not but one that says thank you. Is that a good illustration of what we find in society today?
Yeah.
I believe that it is. I believe that we have so many today that receive blessings, blessings of provision, blessings of health, blessings of life, blessings of a job, et cetera, et cetera. And yet very, very few say, thank you, Lord. I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Give me the question or the comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood and Dr. Phelps. How are you today?
I am blessed, and I pray that you are.
Yes, sir. I am blessed and highly favored, and I thank God for what you are saying on today, you and Dr. Phelps as well, two men that I have a lot of faith and trust and confidence in, knowing, amen, that you, amen, preach the word and you live the life. I thought about, as you read down through the scriptures, about the 10 men that got healed by Christ, and only one came back to give him the praise. I remember old church mother saying back in the days that everything God has made will give him the praise, but when it comes down to men, it's just a few. You know, and that just hit home when we, you know, think about, you know, how people take for granted on today, the liberties that's available, you know, in life that we, you know, God has so blessed us to have and enjoy in this country. When you go to other countries, they don't have what we have. And that's why so many are coming this way on today. They want to come to the United States of America because it's called the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we thank God, amen, because he has been blessing us continuously all down through the years. But I'm mighty afraid that they're not going to realize what they have until they no longer have it. But we need to really give God the praise and the thanks, amen, while we can. Going back to Psalm 119, verse number 164, the psalm writer said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Amen. God's word is right, and it's right all by itself, and I thank and praise him. His word will never lose its power, and as long as we trust in him and trust in his word, we can continue to be blessed, and God will continue to bless America. Thank you so much.
Amen. Pastor Davis, let me ask you one question before you go. Share briefly for the edification of our audience the top three things that you're thankful for today. I know it's difficult because I have lists of dozens and dozens, but the top three things that you'd like to say, thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for today.
Well, the first thing, Dr. Youngblood, I thank God for his son, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
And when I think about Jesus, I'm thinking about God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. All three are one together. And I thank him because he sent his Son into the world to die for my sins, not just the sins of the whole world, but I take it on a personal level, my sins. When I think about where I were in the world and what a rank sinner I was, amen, that even while I was still in sin, he still yet loved me, and he loved me enough to die on the cross for my sins. So I thank God for being who he is and his Son coming into the world and for his Holy Spirit that he sent to keep us here. I thank God for my loving wife and family, everyone, all my good friends, amen, my new friends in Christ. He's given me a new family, including you and Dr. Phelps. I love all of you so much. I think so much of all of you. And I just thank and praise God for where he has brought me from and where he has me now. And I'm looking for greater things to come in the future because I know he's that type of God. And I thank him for life, health, and strength. Amen. I don't take any of these things for granted because I know he's the one that continues to bless us with all. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for those words, that testimony of thankfulness. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. What are you thankful for? What questions do you perhaps have about Thanksgiving? Are you concerned about the ultimate loss of the day Thanksgiving? Is it meaningful to you? Does Thanksgiving simply mean that you have an entire day to watch football, simply snooze a while, play games, talk, or in some cases with the dissipated lifestyle of staying drunk half the day, if not all the day? There are a lot of folks that look at Thanksgiving as a holiday simply to carouse and to do things that's outside the will of God in one's life. Is that the way you see Thanksgiving? How do you see Thanksgiving? Love to hear from you. 831-0917. We're talking with Dr. Phelps today. Dr. Neil Phelps, a professor of Bible and theology in Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, continue your thought we had you had just before our news break, and let's see what you have to say in relationship to what is Thanksgiving? Why should we be thankful? What does the Scripture say?
I want to go back, if I may, to my mention of the blessing of having the Word of God. The heritage of God's Word is spoken of by the psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 111. And the psalmist wrote, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." There's much in Psalm 119 about God's Word and how precious it is. We have precious promises. The word testimonies is used in that verse, and it's a very important word in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find it both in Old and New Testament. Jesus had, you remember, in John chapter 5, that Scriptures testify of him. Now, that means that we have testimonies about the Messiah, about his ministry, or about his future millennial kingdom
mm-hmm.
in all the Bible.
That's right.
And I hope you paid attention to what I just said.
That's right.
but we have that heritage, just as people in Old Testament did. We have the heritage of the Word of God. Or, you see, this is the book of truth. This is God's record that he's given about his Son. And so I'm so thankful that one day I heard the truth,
yes,
the preaching of the gospel. And I was called out of death to life.
That's right.
Because, you see, Jesus summed it up kind of like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life.
Amen.
That's what happened to me when I heard and received and believed the gospel of Christ. Another thing for which we can be so thankful is the hope of eternal life. See, this hope is what God gives us, and God cannot lie. And that's a promise that he made, he says in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And we have John 3:16, of course, as we know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This hope that we have is not just wishful thinking.
That's right.
It's divine certainty that's mm-hmm. based upon the sure word of God. And I should like to mention also, I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. And that's found in Psalm 103. There are so many passages that are like this. It says in the scriptures that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103, verse 8. We have mercy from God, for the Lord is merciful to all those who call upon him. Because of God's mercy, we'll not perish in sin, for he has provided the Lamb to deliver us
yes.
from the penalty of sin. I like what David said in Psalm 86. It's a great passage that caught my attention. And in Psalm 86, we find the Lord has told us this. Verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I'll glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we're going to want to give thanks for forever.
Yes.
That'll be a forever kind of thanksgiving, not just once a year.
In fact, Dr. Phelps, as you were speaking, it reminds me of an old song that many churches today with the new pop-up church ministry style in the rock and roll music, contemporary music style, they've lost the meaning of many of our old gospel songs. And one of them, titled Count Your Blessings. Let me just read to our listening audience a few words of the first verse. When upon life's billows your tempest tossed, when you're discouraged and thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many, many blessings, and see what God hath done. It goes, continues on with four stanzas in the song, the last stanza being, so amid conflict and whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you in your journeys to your journey's end. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. We hear very little of that today, where you count your blessings. Dr. Phelps, share with us a few more words of thought and thoughts from the scripture. Then I'd love to hear you share with our listening audience some of the things you are thankful for.
In Psalm 103, we have many things that are mentioned for which we should give thanks. In fact, I like to think of the Psalms as giving us a vocabulary of thanksgiving. Many times we don't know what we should say when we give thanks. Well, you can turn to the Psalms and you'll find many, many things.
That's right.
There's an unending list. But I'm so thankful for health and strength to do the things we need to do. I'd like to read from Psalm 103, if I may. It says, bless the Lord. That means to praise the Lord or thank the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Right.
Who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And on it goes. It tells us that God has dealt with us in mercy in providing what we need. God gives us life and breath, even.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful. Every day I give thanks for life and breath, for a new day that he's given me to live. I'm thankful then that God is so good in this way to blessing us with health and strength, to give us our breath and our life. Paul said it like this in Acts 17, that he gives us life and breath in all things.
Yes. Dr. Phelps, when you say that, it made me think about, and I'm looking at an article, Matthew Henry, the famous biblical scholar, once was, as the article reads, was accosted by thieves and robbed him of his purse. In his diary, years gone by, in his diary, you found these words recorded. This is from Matthew Henry. Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, let me be thankful, because although they took my all, it was not very much. Fourth, let me be thankful, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. So in everything, we can find something to be thankful for with what God has done. I remember an article, a testimony by Dr. Howard Hendricks tells of being very ill one Christmas, and though he thought he was going to die, he received a phone call from one of the students, and he says, Prof, he had been seminary professor for 30 years at that time, I just wanted to say thank you. I love you. Dr. Hendricks says this was the first time any student had ever called him or said, thank you for teaching me. Dr. Phelps, we've got a few more minutes left on the broadcast. Take the balance of our time talking about things on your heart, about Thanksgiving, how we should respond, what our listeners need to hear, and some of your personal Thanksgiving testimony.
One of the ways I'd like to express my thanks is for God's spiritual blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly we are thankful for life and breath and good things that fill our mouth, good things that God provides for us, for our physical bodies, and we should give thanks. But you see, we're heirs to spiritual blessings,
yes,
in Christ. Believing in Christ makes us eligible as children of God for the blessings of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, what are those spiritual blessings? They are what I call the in whom kind of blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And that means in Christ. In whom is used quite often in the book of Ephesians and Colossians to show the source of our blessings.
Right.
They're in Christ. And in whom means or refers to our position as a believing Christian and member of the body of Christ. Because, you see, God adds us to his church, and he makes us new creations in Christ. All we have and all we'll ever have is through God's beloved Son. I say that very carefully because, you see, God has given his Son to us, and everything that we receive must be received through him. All of them, I'm referring to spiritual blessings. First of all, in Ephesians, we read in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I'm so thankful that I have a Redeemer.
Amen.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption implies that we've been bought back from the bondage of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true of me. I was sold. I was sold under sin. And I have redemption in Christ. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And the word blood is so important, many people pay no attention to that. You see, the redemption price was the precious blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter 1:18 and following tells us that we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And his blood was shed so that he could obtain redemption for us and also forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins is made possible by the one sinless substitutionary sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Remember what John said when he introduced Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We're told in Isaiah 53 that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took our sins upon him so that that we can be forgiven. I'm so thankful for that. So also it says, by grace. Grace means we receive what we don't deserve.
That's right.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And so I'm so thankful for the grace of God that brought salvation into my life. Also in Ephesians, we read in Ephesians 1 and verse number 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. I just read part of that verse. What do Christians inherit? Well, briefly, in whom means in Christ, and he's the heir of all things, and we are joint heirs with him. Book of Romans, chapter 8, tells us that in Christ, then that's where we have our inheritance. Listen to Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And I just read part of verse 17. You see, like a wife who becomes joint heir with her husband.
Yes.
Believing Christians then become joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
When we believe in him. So because of our relationship in Christ, God's beloved son in the family of God, Christians are sons and daughters of God. And being sons, we're eligible for an inheritance.
Absolutely. And Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. That's a pretty good challenge there. To make known means to give testimony, to share what God has done for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's my prayer, it's our prayer, that this Thanksgiving, you'll go back and reflect what God has done for you and give him the praise and the honor and the glory. And tell people about that. Let them know. Give testimony. Share with others what Jesus Christ means to you, what he's done for you, and how thankful you are each and every day for life, for breath, for health, and for strength. And so we would like to jointly wish you a blessed, happy Thanksgiving this Thanksgiving season. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.